words and the message that the Lord has given us today, we should all leave encouraged about the faithfulness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. You know, I am asked from time to time. I'm not on. Okay. Is that good? Up. That better? Okay. Glenn is calm right now, so everything's good. I get asked time from time, you know, how do you get a message together week after week? And every time after Sunday service, my mind is going toward, you know, what's on the mind of the Lord for the next Sunday. And because you can always randomly pick something to teach from, but I'm different than Pastor. I've always told people he can get here on Sunday morning and you say, Pastor, preach on blue, and he'll preach on blue for an hour. That's a compliment, by the way, not anything negative. But anyway, I always begin to think about what's going to, you know, preach on next Sunday. And sermons can come in many different ways: a billboard, a thought, newspaper article, hearing somebody say something, and it kind of quickens in you, and you think, well, that'll really preach. You know, that will preach. So it comes in many different ways, and sometimes I just have to ask God because I don't hear nothing. And which might be the best way anyway, but come to think of it. But then when you get asked God, you get to hearing all these things, and you're trying to discern if it was God or you. So I don't know. I just go with what I know to go with. But anyway, so I said, you know, God, what's on your heart for Sunday morning? What do you want the people to hear that are there? Because it's usually the same people. And I heard the words, I want you to minister on me. And I'm like, well, God, I do try to do that every Sunday. And he said, no, I want you to minister on the attribute of my attribute of faithfulness, and that I am faithful God. And in saying that, you know, life is tough sometimes, and we need to be reminded over and over again the faithfulness of God. That in the struggles and midst of life of believing and going through things, we need to be reminded of the faithfulness of God. And he was saying, you know, so many of my sons and daughters forget who I am in their everyday living of life, because we can get overwhelmed sometimes, you know. And so the Holy Spirit wants to remind us today of the faithfulness of God. So this is just going to be a teaching on the faithfulness of God. And in order to receive the promises of God, you have to understand his faithfulness. Because if you don't, you'll get discouraged. You know, because the promises of God don't happen quickly sometimes. And so we can get discouraged if we forget about his faithfulness. That he is who he says he is, and he will do for us what he said he would do. So the word translated faithfulness simply means steadfastness. It means firmness. And the opposite of being faithful is to ever be changing. A Kentucky word is wishy-washy. Amen. God is not wishy-washy. So the opposite of being faithful is to be ever-changing. A declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. So promises means God sets forth what he will do. He has set forth what he's going to do. And it's in the pages of this covenant that we live by as Christians. And the word that word promise comes from the word set forth. So tell the people, remind them that I am the I am of faithfulness. No, God is faithful. The word tells us so. And because of that, we know that he cannot lie. He has proven himself faithful in the lives of the people throughout Scripture. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, we read over and over about the faithfulness of God to his people, time and time again. And like I said before, to understand the faithfulness, you must know and understand how much of value you are to him. You know, it's easy for someone to say that they're faithful, but if you don't understand why they're faithful to you, it's because of their love for you, then you're not going to receive what they say they want to do for you. And we live in a culture now that are not faithful in any area. You know, my daddy always told me, "Shirley, your bond is your word." Of course, we don't live in that world anymore. You know, but we know that God's bond to us is his word. That's what connects us to him. So if you don't think you are of value to someone, you're most likely not to trust them. Or the love they have for you that remains steadfast. So in understanding God's faithfulness, his love, we have to understand that it's part of his character. And the character of God is like a big puzzle. Everyone fixes the next. We're spending our entire life learning about the characteristics of God and his character and how they all are one big puzzle piece and they all fit together. You can't leave out one and say that's not God. You can't leave out the other one and say that it maybe is God. But it's a big puzzle that fits together in who he is to us as his sons and daughters. So we're going to spend just a second here reading three scriptures about how that we have always been on the mind of God. Ephesians 1 and 4 tells us he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the earth. So you're not an accident that you're here. The parents you were born to, the family you were born into, you may not like them, but that's who God gave you. Amen? So he already knew that. God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Isn't that awesome? David said in Psalms 139, these people think that a baby, when they're conceived, they're just, "Oh, this is just going to tear that all to pieces." "For you created me, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Wow. "Made, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." See, you were already there before your mom and daddy ever got together, however they got together to conceive you. You were already in the depths of the earth. You were already on God's mind. Isn't that an awesome thought? And then sometimes we doubt his faithfulness. Wow. "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days are ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Where do I count them? I would outnumber the grain. They would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you." Wow. So I bought these scriptures in the message to remind us how much we've been on the mind of God and are now. Because being on the mind of God, his thoughts of you are continually good. God has no bad thought toward you. No matter how bad you may be at times. Amen. His thoughts are continually good. So begin being on the mind of God. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that, "For I know the thoughts." So if God knows the thoughts that he thinks about us, what should we do? We should get the mind of God and begin to think the thoughts he thinks. Because that's where it all begins. He says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you," says the Lord. Okay, God, what kind of thoughts are you thinking about me? Thoughts of peace, a life of nothing missing and nothing broken. A place of rest. Not of evil. God means no harm. My thoughts to you are not one of harm. To give you an expected end. To give you an end that's full of hope. Amen. That's his thoughts toward you. If you don't have all this already in your mind, how can you trust the faithfulness of God? How can you understand his love for you? How can you receive his promises? You can't receive the promises of God unless you understand his faithfulness. It's a puzzle that fits together. And it all starts in our mind and how we think of ourselves to receive those promises. The faithfulness of God. Lamentations 3:22-23 tells us, "Because of the Lord's" what? "Great love." Great love. "We are not consumed. For his compassions," another translation says, "for his mercies never fail. His faithfulness never fails. They are what? New every morning. His mercy, His grace, His compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Not only is His compassion, His mercy is new every morning, but we need to get up and say, God, your faithfulness is new this morning. I didn't see that happen yesterday, but it could happen today. Your faithfulness is new today. Your mercy surrounds me today. Your mercy is running to overtake me today. Hallelujah. One thing that I remember, as I said before, my daddy teaching me was your word is your bond. And a handshake. You know, and I've always lived that in my life, probably to the extreme than not. But your word is your bond. And as I said, His word has been given to us as His bond. Amen. And as humans, we are not 100% faithful. As much as we try, we're not. So we let people down. We struggle with being consistent with resolutions we make, the promises we make. So maybe this is the reason we have a hard time believing God is always faithful. You remember about the box that I preached about last Sunday? If we put God in that box of how we relate to people and their faithfulness, guess what? We're not going to see much of God's faithfulness in our lives produced the way that He wants it to. So we're not able to live out our faithfulness. So we struggle believing God can do because we've got Him in that box of our mind with the lid closed. You know, so we bring our ideas of who we are and relate to that as how God is, and we bring that into the box that we preached about last week. And we not only allow Him to do and to be what we have limited Him to do in our box, but you can't limit God. You cannot put God in a box and keep Him in there forever. Amen. So we forget we are a supernatural people. When we are born again, amen, our spirit man comes alive. And sometimes we forget and we need to be reminded that we are a supernatural people, born again, life by a supernatural God. We are in a different kingdom now. We're of this world, but we're not in this world. And all is well in the kingdom of God. There's nothing missing in the kingdom of God. So if that is the kingdom that we live in, we can trust the faithfulness of God. Amen. So we are sustained by a supernatural God of faithfulness. Taught by a supernatural teacher from a supernatural book. Amen. Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. He teaches us. So we are led by a supernatural guide into a supernatural path in order to obtain supernatural victories. Why? Because of God's faithfulness. So we limit Him so much as to what He wants to do. All because we belong to a faithful God who has given us the promises of His word. This is what I'm doing for you. David relates faithfulness of God to his words in Psalms 118, 89, and 90. He says, forever. That means no ending. Forever, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures. It lasts to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. You can't break the faithfulness of God. It's not breakable. Even in our unfaithfulness. His faithfulness does not change with the change of time. We see the world trying to adjust their life and make the word adjust to them and not adjust their life to the word. So God's word doesn't change. Just like I said before, just because everybody else is doing it don't make it right. Because we do not get our values and principles from the world standard. We get it from the standard of the Word of God. And that's where the enemy has come in over the years. It broke down the family unit because that's where it needs to start. Amen. So His faithfulness does not change with the change of time. He remains the same. The Word, the promises of His Word remains the same. Deuteronomy 5. Therefore, gain knowledge of, understand that the Lord your God, He is God. He is the faithful God. So how are we looking at God? Through the eyes of flesh or through the eyes of the Spirit? That says there's nothing that you can't do, God. There is nothing that you cannot do. And, you know, I've said before, it's our unbelief that stops the promises of God. But a lot of times, it's our unwillingness to see that He wants to do it for us. And that He can do it for us. So if God is faithful and true in everything that He says and does, we can count on His promises in the Bible to be absolutely trustworthy. If He says that you should get such a revelation of it, read it and read it till you get such a revelation of it that you can't be talked out of it. No matter what you see, taste, smell, or feel. Don't be talked out of what you know the Word says. 2 Peter 1:4 tells us, He has given us His very great and precious promises. These are thousands. There are thousands of promises in the Word. This book is a promised book, a covenant book shed with the blood of Jesus, that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And it all starts with His promises and the faithfulness of Him doing it for us. Genesis 28:12-15 tells us, I will not leave until I have done what I have promised you. So it's trustworthiness is consistently demonstrated over a long period of time. And the more we grow in our relationship with God, the more that we can see His faithfulness in our lives. And even then, at times, we tend to forget and maybe doubt sometimes. You know, God, you came through before, but you don't know, this report here is really bad. This bank account looks really bad. God, I know you come before, but this is really bad. This is a big one. It's not big as God. It's not as big as God. Amen. So no matter what you have heard, no matter what you taste, see, or feel, it's not bigger than God. Amen. It's not bigger than God. Though the Scripture, we go back and it records that God keeps His word, commitment to us. He's guaranteed to do what He says. Hebrews 6:12 tells us, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You know, I can look around at you all and see the faithfulness of God in your life and how you've trusted God over and over again. And not only can we look at the people around us, but we can go to the Word and see how God came through time and time and time and time again. You know, you go back to the nation of Israel. They quit remembering what God done. They got in unbelief. They got right to the edge of the promised land. Right to the edge. And then they spent another 40 years over here instead of over there with the promised land that had been promised to them. And even in their unfaithfulness, God was faithful. He said, just because you're unfaithless, just because you murmured and complained, and you chose to stay in this place for 40 more years, it doesn't break my promises concerning you. It doesn't break my promise, what I have promised you. It doesn't break it. What I promised you and what you see over there is still there. Amen. God can override your murmuring and your complaining, because we've all done it. Amen. So the Lord's promises are faithful, fulfilled in the Old Testament in Christ's time on earth and today. Numbers 23:19 tells us, God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Every time God speaks, something happens. The atmosphere begins to change when you begin to speak the Word of God. Does He promise and not fulfill? So as we said, talked about before, how we may want to take man's reliability and man's faithfulness and bring it over to how God is. God's reliability, we cannot relate God's reliability like people's reliability. Because people will fail you over and over and over again. God will never lie, deceive, or mislead us. And he don't change his mind. Joshua 21, 43, 45 tells us, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn. 44. The Lord gave them rest on every side just as he had sworn. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Wow. Joshua 23, 14. Not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. As we talked before, God promised Israel land. God promised them rest. And every promise of God to Israel was fulfilled and is continued being fulfilled today for that nation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So every promise, the word rest is given to us as new covenant believers also. God is faithful. He has given us rest. Rest from religion, rest from working, rest from striving. We have been given that rest by a faithful God also. So over thousands of years, God's word promises have been thoroughly tested, found to be true. Just take the example for healing.
Amen.
If you're in need of healing today, Jehovah Rapha healed Abraham's wife of barrenness. 5 centuries later, he still healed the snake-bitten Israelites in the wilderness. 1,500 years later, he still healed in the Gospel of Acts, which we are a continuation of.
Yeah.
Another 2,000 years later, he still heals today.
Yeah.
Amen. That is the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hey, oh, hallelujah. And I just speak healing over your body right now, Pastor, in the name of Jesus. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, your veins are opened. They are receiving the blood flow as they should in the name of Jesus. We speak that over you, oh, because of the faithfulness of God. Healing now manifested in your body in the name of Jesus. And over the space of 4,000 years from Abraham to now, God's promises in the Bible have been tested. And we see over and over again where he remains faithful. Psalms 145:13 tells us the Lord is faithful to all his promises, loving toward all he has made. God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you who will also do it. Have you been called? We just heard the word this morning from Gail. Appointed, anointed, called.
Yeah.
Amen. So he who promises faithful according to Hebrews 10:23. Romans 4:13 and 16 tells us it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that came by faith. Therefore, the promises comes by faith so that it may be by grace. Amen. The promises comes by faith, but grace, God's infinite grace. You can't earn or deserve God's promises. It's not because you've prayed 4 or 5 hours a day. It's not because you've fasted for a week. It's not because you can quote scripture up one side and down the other. Not because you even come to church every Sunday. Amen. It comes by grace, by faith. And you can't deserve it. They are ours by grace. Because we serve a good, good Father. Amen. Exodus 34, 5 and 7. The Lord descended in the cloud, stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. This is talking about Moses. The Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, and what? And abounding, abounding in faithfulness and truth. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty, this and the iniquity of fathers and generations, it goes on to say. But he says, the Lord has compassion, gracious, slow to anger, and abounding. That sounds like overflow.
Yeah.
Abounding, more than enough, faithfulness and truth. So here in this scripture, we see God again declares himself to be abounding in faithfulness. Now the Hebrew word for that is a emeth, E-M-E-T-H. And it's translated true in the King James Version. So a lot of times when you see the word true in the New Testament, it's talking about God's faithfulness. They intertwine with each other. Because his faithfulness is what? It's truth. His truth is what? Concerning his promises to us. So it all relates to one another. Strong's concordance says a myth means firm, sure, reliable, and stable. And that is what God has declared himself to be when he talks about faithfulness. Firm, sure, reliable, and stable. He's not wishy-washy. One day he has an idea for you, the next day he don't. One day he loves you, the next day he don't. One day he heals, the next day he don't. That's wishy-washy. And so look at the times that God has proven himself a myth in your life. So we can say, God, thank you for being a myth in my life. Amen. Thank you for being a myth in my life. Even when I was unfaithful, you remained faithful. You remained steadfast. You remained strong. You remained more than enough. He answered our prayers, provided our needs. And if he's done all those things for you, then that is called a faithful God. That is his faithfulness showing up big on your behalf. And Deuteronomy 7:9 says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is faithful, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations. The Hebrew word we look at is this time is called A-M-A-N, and it means to support. It means confirm and be faithful. It is used with the support of pillars for a door. Pillars for a door is what it's talking about. So here it is used in connection with his covenant of love. He is the one that confirms it. He is the one that supports it. He is the faithful God. It means you can count on his loving continuing in your life. That is the pillar post. So where do you run to when earthquakes of life happen? When your world begins to shake? Between the door pillars. What are the door pillars? The faithfulness of God. Whew. Get in the middle of that door pillar when the earth is shaking around you, your world is shaking around you. Get those reports that are contrary to the word of Scripture. Get in the middle of that door pillar. Amen. That's what they tell you to do in earthquakes. Find a stable place to get under. A table. Get in the pillar of that door post of God's faithfulness. And say, I'm standing here until the shaking's all gone. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:34-2 says, the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. God cannot be unrighteous. Here the word faithful means firm, steadfast. You can count on God to do what is right with consistency. Again, he's not wishy-washy. He's a God of consistency. He never is one way this week and another way the next. He's steadfast. And when you go to him, you know what to expect. Why? Because you're learning more and more about his faithfulness towards you. That if he said it, then he's going to do it. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He always is on the side of good. Why? Because he is good. And that's why all he has on his mind towards you is what is goodness. 2 Timothy 2:1 tells us, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Because if God's word is already established, he can't go against what he has already established. He can't take back what he's already said. Because that would go against his character of truthfulness. Amen. He remains faithful to his promises through regardless of how many times we fail to do so. His faithfulness gives us confident hope. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold what? The confession fast, the confession of our what? Hope without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without what? Without wavering, without being wishy-washy. For he who promised is faithful. So no matter what else crumbles in our lives, that hope remains. Everything around us may crumble, but God says, my hope, my faithfulness, my trustworthiness, my love remains the same. Get in that pillar of safety. In between that doorpost of safety, of faithfulness. As we said a while ago, his faithfulness is abounding. Psalms 86:15 tells us, but you, O Lord, are God, merciful, gracious, slow to anger, And here's that word abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. God only is God slow to anger. Love and faithfulness are in his abundant supply. There is no end to them. And as long as we live on this earth, we're never going to be able to use it all up. Never going to be able to use it all up. Psalms 34 foretells us, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. So this shows us that his faithfulness is the foundation for all that he does. And what is the foundation? It's the first place principle of everything that follows. He builds it all on his faithfulness. His trustworthiness, love is built on his what? His faithfulness is a sure foundation. And all that he has done, is doing, will flow out of his faithfulness. His faithfulness means fellowship. God's faithfulness is fulfilled in Christ. Because of Christ, we can have fellowship with God. That's our avenue to God. That's our alleyway to God. His faithfulness protects us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 tells us, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Psalms 37 verse 3 tells us, trust in the Lord and do good, so you shall dwell in the land and you'll be fed. In the Hebrew, I like this when I begin to study this. In the Hebrew, verily thou shalt be fed translates like this. Feed on his faithfulness. So let's read this again. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you'll dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Or be fed on his faithfulness. When you start eating the word and finding his faithfulness, there's something that begins to stir faith in you to know that God is faithful. And he's never, ever going to let you down. Never, ever, ever. 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 In the world, faithfulness has hit an all-time low, as I mentioned before. In every area you can think of, politicians build their campaigns on what they're going to be faithful to. But how many times have we seen them follow through with that? You know, God wants his sons and daughters that look like him. We should be in the process of looking more and more like him the longer that we're on this earth. That's how we show forth the glory of God in the world. Be a godly expression of faithfulness in the world in response to his faithfulness to you. So when everything is shaking in your life, you're not supposed to be acting like the world. You should not be comfortable in the world. Amen? You should not be. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. Just as God is good all the time, he is faithful all the time. And we said before, when we get to look at God's faithfulness in the word, it mentions his characteristic of love most of the time, because they go so close together. And without understanding about the faithfulness of God, we can't receive his promises. And without receiving his promises, we have to understand that he loves us and he wants us to walk in his promises. And to be full, and our life to be fulfilled with his promises. And as I begin to think about the song that we sang, God, you have done great things. You give grace to the weak, bless the brokenhearted with a song of praise. With a song of praise to sing, you reached down and you lifted us up. You came running looking for us. You know, and now there's nothing and no one beyond your love. You're the overflow. You're the fountain of our heart. Let your mercy rain on us. You're the faithful one. When the world's falling apart, let your mercy rain. Let your mercy rain. Then it goes on to say, how deep, how wide, how long, how high is your love? How deep, how wide, how long, how high is your love? You know, as I said before, the characteristics of God are like a puzzle. It's a big puzzle piece that fits together. They all interchangeably fit together as a puzzle. And sometimes when we try to make a puzzle fit to a piece where it doesn't go, it won't go there. Amen. But the puzzle, the characteristics of God, the attributes of God, fits like a puzzle. Amen. We've had enough scripture today that you should be encouraged to know that God is faithful. And where your world is shaking this week, run to the pillar. Remember that. Run to the pillar and stand there until the shaking stops. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you that we have been encouraged today by your word and to be reminded of how you are a faithful Father to us. And that we don't rely on you. Maybe we've had a bad relationship with the Father. Maybe there was an earthly Father present. But we relate to you according to your word and know that you're a good, good Father. And though other people may be unfaithful to us, you would never be, God. We may be unfaithful to you, but you said that doesn't break your promises concerning us. And Father, we just run to you. We just run to you when our world is shaken. We run to that pillar of faithfulness, and we just stand in the midst of that. Thank you for reminding us, Holy Spirit, today. The love that God has for us is never going to let us go. And your word says, Stephanie, that you dance over us with joy. You dance over us with singing. You love us so much that our minds cannot comprehend. Once we begin to get a revelation of how much you love us, of how much your faithfulness is toward us, wow, it changes us. It changes how we see ourselves and how we see others around us. Continue. Give us a revelation of your faithfulness. Continue to give us a revelation of your love and of your mercy and grace, because none of us have arrived yet. Lord, that we all have a teachable a spiritual attitude that says, Lord, show me again what this part of the word means. My mind be open to what you would have to say. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these people, those that are listening. If you're listening by this message today, I want you to know that Jesus loves you, that he loves you unconditionally. You may have messed up, but you've not messed up so bad that God says, I'm going to forget about you. He says, come to me, all you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And I speak that into your life now, that there's rest for those that belong to Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these people today. I speak to you today that you are highly favored of God, that his blessings are running to overtake you, that your hands are blessed to be a blessing, that you speak forth the oracles of God this week. You speak forth what you know the word has to say, contrary to what everything else may be going around this world. You go forth and you be a light to this generation. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.